I want to change tack completely and go to a serious subject, because the Department of Health has published figures which show there were 10,852 abortions in Ireland last year. That was the highest number since the law changed in 2019. In Donegal, there was a specific 124% increase from 127 abortions in 2019 to 285 in 2024 last year. We're joined on the line by Eilish Mulroy, who is the CEO of the Pro-Life Campaign. Eilish, good morning.
Thanks for having me on the programme, Donal.
The figures that we're getting from the Department of Health, does that in a sense vindicate the warning that the Pro-Life Campaign always gave, that we would start by offering abortions in very, very specific and limited circumstances, but it would, over the course of time, proliferate?
For sure. I think when the referendum campaign was launched back in early 2018, the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar assured voters that, you know, if they voted yes, the referendum would result in abortions being safe, legal and rare, was the term he used. They're certainly not rare based on the latest figures that we got from the Department of Health. These figures are issued once a year, and the minister has to publish in accordance with the statutory obligations laid out in the legislation. He has to put, or the Minister for Health has to publish the figures for the previous full year. So in 2024, a figure of 10,852 abortions, as you say, the highest on record, is really a truly shocking figure. And, you know, you don't have to go into the argument about repealing the Eighth Amendment or you know, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life. The reality is that most people would consider these figures much higher than would have been anticipated, no matter what way that they voted back in 2018. In Donegal alone, 285 abortions in 2024, as you say, an increase of 124% since 2019. That's a shocking figure. And overall, nationally, one in six babies' lives are now ended in abortion. I think it's important, Donal, that, you know, we're talking about figures, we talk about stats and percentages, but we're talking about human lives here. We're talking about people, children missing from classrooms. You know, I was delighted to see Donegal's going to Croke Park. I'm half Donegal myself. I'm thrilled to see Donegal make it through to the All-Ireland. But how many of these figures that we're talking about, these babies' lives, how many of these children could have been players for their club or for their county in football? So I think it's really important that we're, you know, as you say, it's a very serious subject. We are actually talking about the ending of human life. And the other thing as well, we have many women involved in the pro-life campaign and in the wider pro-life movement who've been through abortion, and that abortion has had a very negative impact on their lives. So I think it's really important to remember those women as well. And the government really has a massive responsibility to do more for women who've been through abortion, who regret that decision, who need support. But also, very particularly, the government needs to do more to deal with these huge figures by making sure that women who are in unplanned or challenging pregnancies have all the support they need. And the problem at the moment, Donal, is that when a woman contacts the state-funded My Options helpline, it really seems to be very a one-way system towards abortion. They're not getting all of the information they deserve and they need on financial supports, community supports, social welfare supports. So that's why we've been running, the Pro-Life Campaign has been running a campaign talking to our public representatives called Positive Pathways, which is trying to encourage public representatives to do more, to get the government to do more, to ensure women have all of that information they need so that they can proceed with their pregnancies. It's really
you're seeking an urgent meeting with Minister Jennifer Carl McNeill, the Health Minister. What do you want on the table at that meeting? Ultimately, what do you want the Health Minister to do to make the situation less unjust and unsustainable as you believe it to be at the moment?
Well, Minister Carol McNeill is the Minister for Health since the beginning of this government. So it was her predecessors that kind of pushed to bring in abortion and have been pushing abortion since 2019. So we're really hopeful that when we get to meet her, and we've met many TDs and senators over recent months about this topic, and many Donegal supporters have also contacted their TDs and their public representatives in Donegal. But we would hope that the Minister would give us the time to talk through our perspective on this, and to also really open the door for people with a pro-life perspective and open the door to people who have a record in helping women in unplanned pregnancy choose positive options and choose life, and to bring those people to the decision-making table. At the moment, the government has really ceded all of the control and the decision-making power to kind of the most vocal proponents of abortion, leaving no space at that table for other perspectives. And I think that really is something that we're hoping that the Minister for Health will be able to address. And we repeated the request. We requested a meeting a number of weeks ago about these figures. We knew these figures were going to be huge. We've repeated that request, and we're hopeful that the Minister will meet us. One thing is clear. The current situation is unsustainable and is doing a massive disservice to women and can't be allowed to continue. We really have to do better for women and unborn children.
What changes do you want to see to the law?
Well, right now, I would like to see... I'd like to see efforts made by government to reduce the abortion numbers. I would like to see better publication of the data. One of the things about this information, the information that we've gotten, is we don't really have enough information for good public policy, decisions to be made. One of the shocking things about this release of the figures was that it was made late on a Friday evening. There was no press release even issued, so a really kind of a tactic to shield the public scrutiny that these figures deserve. So I'd like to see more transparency and more accountability from the government, as well as genuine efforts to give women better choices and positive options when they're facing unplanned pregnancy.
I want to put two points to you, two comments that we've just received. One caller says, we voted for this. This is what we want. And there was a referendum. So this wasn't just a law that was imposed by a health minister. This was a law that followed a referendum. So people had a vote. So a caller says, this is what we want. Another caller is saying, we can't take a step backwards. And that's one of the issues that you as a pro-life campaigner are going to be faced with. That people are saying, this is the legal situation. It follows a referendum. We've been down this road. And this is ultimately the choice that has been made by the people and implemented by government.
Look, fair enough. The people voted by referendum to remove the Eighth Amendment. They voted to give power to their office to make legislation. I think if you ask yes voters, ask some people in Donegal on your programme, when they voted yes, many people voted yes for abortion for particular situations that they felt had to be addressed. For example, if women's health or life was in peril. As we know, women were always given all necessary treatment even prior to the Eighth Amendment. But I know for sure, because I know people who voted in favour of really the Eighth Amendment for those reasons. They didn't vote for massive amount of abortions of healthy babies and healthy mothers. And that's what we have seen. So I think that it's fair to say, absolutely, the people voted and they repealed the Eighth Amendment. That's what they voted for. But I don't think it's fair to say that the people who voted yes wanted to see an abortion regime that is this extreme. You remember, Donald, before the referendum, when we were saying that, you know, one in five babies' lives ended in abortion in Britain, that was fact-checked, so-called. It was ridiculed that would never happen here. We've nearly caught up. We've one in six babies' lives ending in abortion now. So this is a very extreme regime that we have. And I think people, whether they voted yes or no, and I know many people, including members of the Oireachtas, by the way, who would have campaigned and voted, would encourage people to vote yes, who now think it's all gone too far. So the key issue is, and I welcome the opportunity to talk to you about it today, we have to be able to talk about it. The problem is, if we don't talk about it, the people are kept in the dark about what's actually happening. And that's how you create better policy, and by talking about it and then making changes.
One of the problems is, and understandable to a certain extent, that this is by very definition a very divisive debate, that ultimately there are two very clear sides. There are people who are anti-abortion, there are people who are pro-choice. And very often what happens is the voices that get heard are the voices, I don't want to say on the extreme of both sides, but you hear the voices of those who are passionate about their commitment, shall we say, to both sides. So we have, on one hand, a perspective that's saying, you know, you are killing babies. On the other hand, you have a perspective of saying, for instance, we have a comment here, why can't we see this as thousands of women saved from dire situations? So you can, it's one of those areas where it's going to be very difficult to have a discussion that doesn't find people passionately coming down on one side or the other.
I agree with you. It's a very, very tough issue. I found that. I've been involved in it for many years. I do think it's important that we talk about tough issues and we don't stop talking about them because they're tough. I think it's important that we grapple with them. It's certainly important that our public representatives and our politicians grapple with them and don't shy away with them. But on that point, I also think that there's a lot of common ground. Like, there's a lot of areas where we all agree. We all agree women shouldn't feel that they have to have an abortion through economic necessity. I've heard that has been happening in Ireland. We all agree that no woman should be coerced into having an abortion or to taking abortion pills, which we know has happened, as reported in the Irish Examiner, and that has happened in Ireland. So, you know, there's a lot of common ground. We all agree women should be given time to make a decision before going for having an abortion. It's such a life-changing decision. Like, there's many areas where we can find agreement and common ground. So while it's always going to be a tough debate, because obviously you're talking about the ending of human life, don't know if people are going to get passionate about it, I think there's a lot of areas where we can find consensus and common ground, and we need to work on those. And I don't agree that it has to be, you know, ferocious and attacking and kind of you against me. There's lots of areas where we can work together. When I say you against me, I mean the pro-life side and, yeah, and those who are advocating for more abortion. I think that and that's being doing it like and speaking and debating it in a mature way, but also recognizing that you're actually talking about human lives. You're talking about children who are missing from classrooms because they were never born. And I think you can never shy away from talking about that. So I understand how difficult it is to talk about. Haven't been talking about it in the media sometimes, and with my own community, friends, family, it's a tough thing to talk about, but we cannot shy away from talking about tough things. And I really believe that women deserve better than that, as well as unborn babies. The women in Ireland, many women are being done a huge disservice. I only recently spoke to a woman from the Northwest who had been through abortion, forced upon her, not physically forced, but coerced, who regretted it so much and wants to speak out. I mean, those voices are out there, and obviously women like that, they need to be looked after and, you know, make sure that they have all the support they need. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't at all encourage somebody like that to speak out in the media right now. But my point is that those voices are there too, and we're not hearing anything about that point of view, and that's not healthy for democracy, and it's certainly not good for politics to be shying away from talking about it, and the media, with exceptions, obviously. And thank you for addressing the issue today, because I know it's a tough issue, but the media and the political class have a responsibility to make sure that this issue is discussed, so that changes and positive changes can come about.
Finally and briefly, I want to ask you, and you referenced there areas of potential coercion. There was a story that broke earlier this year in Georgia. Adriana Smith, a 31-year-old nurse and mother, was 8 weeks pregnant when she was declared brain dead after suffering a medical condition. However, her family claimed the hospital told them legally she had to be kept on life support to allow the fetus to grow. The family claims doctors told them they weren't legally allowed to consider other options, and then Smith's baby was born by emergency cesarean section, weighing under 2 pounds and needing care in the neonatal intensive care unit. Now, caller is asking, what do you make of that case in where a woman who was brain dead was forced to remain on life support because she was pregnant, and then when she gave birth, the baby was less than 2 pounds and in dire need of intensive neonatal care?
Well, that's a really tough situation. I'm not massively familiar with that particular case, and I think there's probably laws, and I don't know what the law and what the situation was at the hospital, but there was probably court activity around that case. That's a really tough scenario. I think you're going to find that those kind of things happen from time to time, but that we're not talking about that here. Most of the abortions that happened in Ireland last year were under the section of the Act which is under 12-week abortions, for which a woman who is looking for the abortion, or if somebody else is, you know, part of the decision to coercing her into the abortion, which we know is happening, doesn't have to give any reason. So you are always going to have those tough scenarios, Donal, that's for sure. But and I know that's what would have maybe encouraged or would have been the thinking of some people when they voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about massive abortion numbers, 1 in 6 babies, and many of those abortions not for any of those tough reasons that one might speak about. So I think that, you know, like you can always, there are always those kind of tough scenarios. That's across all areas of life. And, you know, at the end of life, there's a really tough scenario too, on the euthanasia question, where you'd have really tough situations like that. And the court applications, can't comment on any particular one. What I'm saying is that's not what the 99.9% of the abortions that are happening are not under those situations. We don't even know how many of the abortions that are happening are repeat abortions. We know in Britain we get those kind of figures, and we'd like to see more information on that, and more better data from the Department of Health. And that's one of the issues that we'll be raising with the Minister for Health when we meet her, if we meet her, when we hope we will.
Elisha Mulroy, CEO of the Pro-Life Movement, thank you very much indeed. Just doing two comments that have come in. One caller is saying one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill, but we have a government which supports the killing of babies. Another comment, I am a woman, I voted yes. Healthy doesn't also always mean you're in a position to have a baby, and those sort of opposing views are going to be shared by people. Elisha Mulroy, for the moment, thank you very much indeed. We will be keeping a very close eye on this, and obviously if you get that meeting with Minister Carol McNeill, we look forward to speaking to you afterwards and getting your perspective on it. But for the moment, thank you and good morning.